Press start.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZC Podcast, where two friends are in a quest in order to discover the true meaning of crossover events and what it means to be a nerd. As always, I am your undercover Hydra agent, Zach.
And I am your right-hand man, Zach, who may or may not get killed later off once he's deemed unworthy.
And we're all that we have today. Steve is sick. So we're going to carry on old school with just
throwback
the two of us.
Podcast.
Woo!
Throwback to like 2 months ago.
So is there ever going to be a day where I just say I'm sick and then Steve's sick and then you have to do the podcast by yourself?
I was actually thinking that. I was like, oh God, is Zach going to get sick now too? Is this the one?
There is an episode of a podcast I listen to called The Internet Box where a person did the entire episode by himself for like 40 minutes. I'm like, this isn't even funny. This isn't even fun to listen to.
I would make it like, just this, for the sake of continuity, I would release like a 20-minute episode of like, so yeah, these are my thoughts today. And no one else's.
Is this going to be the infamous Stardew Valley podcast?
I'll just talk about my farm on Stardew Valley. So what you got to do, guys, is once you get summer, you just got to buy a crap ton of blueberries.
That was one of the first things I told you is like, you got to bank on those blueberries. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to run a distillery thing. I'm like, eventually. Dude, no. That takes a while. You got to get the blueberries first.
You got to get your stock, man.
And, you know, crazy enough, I don't know if we're mentioning this next week or this week, but the creator of Stardew Valley, you know, the one dude who's programmed this
concerned
game.
Ape.
He's made like $30 million on the game, and to the point where he was actually working on the ports for consoles before he decided to outsource them. But he still is like the sole retainer of credits for his game.
Yeah, and he's still developing stuff for. He's like, yeah, guys, I'm going to have co-op out hopefully next year.
And he wrote the freaking guidebook. Like, it's a nice collector's edition. And it has like these beautiful illustrations that he hired someone to do. But it's like, if you're playing Stardew Valley, you should try these things and give these things to these people. You know, I'm the person that's like, oh man, I'm going to give this to this person. Then I accidentally eat it in front of them.
I've done it where I think I'm giving the right item to someone. And then I'm like, oh shit, that wasn't the right person at all.
Elliot, no.
Damn it.
Yeah, I've started my farm. I'm only like the third day on the Xbox version, but I'm playing ReCore right now too, which is really entertaining, kind of repetitive.
Yeah, that's what I've heard about.
But if you're looking for something just to do something, ReCore is really entertaining in that. I just like dungeon diving. It plays like an old like Ratchet and Clank game.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's very much like the old dungeon crawler style games.
Yeah, and I mean, if that's what you're looking for, there you go. I mean, it's not a giant AAA title, and one of the cool perks behind it's part
it
of
kind of is because Microsoft Studios published it.
But that's fair, but it's not like your EA, Ubisoft, or other True. Things. And what's nice is that it's Xbox Play Anywhere, so I could just play on my
PC.
That
is really nice. I really hope more games start doing that.
Yeah, right now.
So far, it's just the first party games.
Yeah, it's ReCore, Gears, some Xbox preview games.
Quantum Break might be.
Quantum Break, yeah. And Forza. Forza.
I think that's it. I know they're trying to get more. Halo Wars 2 will be.
I will solely play that game on PC.
Yeah, mouse and keyboard. There's going to be those poor console plebs that are only playing on console.
Well, the thing is that when you do the Xbox, there's no crossplay between PC and Xbox.
Oh,
you're on
play.
Your own server with other people playing on PC if you're doing versus or co-op or anything.
Okay.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, no pure domination.
No Warthog.
It's like
rushes.
I just need to find a way to hook up a mouse and keyboard so I play Overwatch on Xbox and then just destroy people with aiming.
You're a monster.
No, it wouldn't work. I haven't even tried Overwatch on PC, so I have no idea how good my aim would be.
It's intense. It's really twitchy.
Yeah.
So the first leading story came from Movie Pot, I think. Yeah, I found the link. MoviePilot.com, where scientists have discovered an abnormal hybrid comic book reader who likes Marvel and DC comics equally.
Blasphemy.
I mean,
they don't exist.
Yeah, he's
a unicorn.
This dude. Who researchers have determined, what's his name? Jake from Flint, Michigan. He's 20 years old. He likes both Iron Man and Batman and enjoys both companies equally and hates Dark Horse. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, it's terrible. And this poor human just doesn't even know what Image is. No. Like, this can't be a real article.
Of course. It has to be satire, right?
Of course.
It has to be.
But Jake goes on to say, it's like, I really don't like choosing favorites because the characters are always changing. I have to like Batman because he's so great, but I also enjoy Sam Wilson's Captain America. Punisher is cool too, and Plastic Man. Pretty much anything DC or Marvel puts out there immediately becomes my favorite thing. So this Jake guy is also one of the people who's actually really excited for the new Marvel event that just got announced last week, Secret Empire, which features Captain America's shield. And hopefully they reintroduce Richard Nixon as the main villain for this.
Don't think that's going to work right now.
Are you sure?
Don't think it will.
Look, they did Secret Empire years ago where Hydra was invading the White House and Nixon was actually I think Nixon was either like a Hydra imposter or he was a part of Hydra.
I feel like I'd care more about this if we literally didn't have an event wrap up and then another one going on and then another one about to start at the same fucking time.
Yeah, I'm finally understanding your event fatigue. Because when last week when we were talking about it, it's like, it's really not that bad. And then I realized, I'm like, oh God, it's every 3 months.
It's down to less than that now. Like, Civil War 2 just ended this last month. And then Inhumans vs. X-Men was already going on.
And Monsters Unleashed.
Monsters Unleashed is about
next month.
And then Secret Empire is what, March?
I don't know. And then you also have Clone Conspiracy going
on. Yeah, that's going on too, which is an event, but it's still a smaller event.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, DC is like, don't worry, guys. We got our big event coming sometime this year.
Here's these small things that are very self-contained in solo titles, or we're making a brand new title just for it.
Or we're going to make one giant universe-wide event, and then that'll be it for the year.
Yeah. That's one thing I appreciate about the way Dan Slott approached Clone Conspiracy, was that Clone Conspiracy is a standalone event and title.
Yeah.
And if you want more information, you can read Amazing Spider-Man for expositionary reasons. Mm-hmm. And then Silk is there too.
I mean, Silk is like, it still took place inside her own storyline though.
Exactly.
Like, it made sense with the continuity, which was,
it doesn't it interrupt was an anything.
Yeah, it was an interesting like story point.
And the way that DC's doing with Justice League versus Suicide Squad is very reminiscent of that too, because we have Justice League versus Suicide Squad by Williamson as its own title, and then Tim Seeley took over Justice League for 2 issues to do some Maxwell Lord stuff, which is fucking awesome. And then you're just kind of sitting there and it's like, yeah, these are how events should be done. Very small, self-contained things that lead to other things, because we know this is going to lead to Justice League of America with Steve Orlando and Batman and CW friends.
Yeah.
Which will be really fun.
And then, like we said, we have Geoff Johns coming out and saying that he's going to turn back to comics this year. Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo are going to have their own event, which may or may not tie into the bigger one that Geoff Johns is going to do later. We're not sure. I really want Scott Snyder to do something with like the comedian and like the Watchmen pin, the three Jokers.
Yeah,
it'd be really cool if their event is something to do with that, that leads into a bigger event later in the year.
The way that Capullo and Scott Snyder have been describing it on Twitter too, it's like a heavy metal rock opera starring Batman. Fuck, so yeah. It's like,
that's so awesome. That's so Greg Capullo.
Yeah, like that style of writing is gonna be awesome, because that's how All Star Batman was. The whole Two-Face arc was
just off the rails action. Yeah. Batman.
It was so beautiful to listen to. I keep waiting for Steve to say something and he's not
he's
here.
Not there.
Oh wait, I'm gonna take Steve's
chair. We need
chair.
Cardboard Fuck cutouts this. Of our friends.
Wait, I'm gonna go get Steve's chair.
Okay. But yes, event fatigue. It is real. But again, we're DC apologists, so we're excited about the DC stuff. Like I said, I've explained this before, but it's because we haven't had a major DC event since Rebirth at this point.
Yeah, and like I said, all of the DC crossovers that have come out are very, very self-contained. Night of the Monster Men, the Superman story right now, Superman Multiplicity, which, again, you need to read Superman. Audience, you need to read Superman. Damn
good books right now.
But right now, there is a group of aliens hunting Supermen from across multiple dimensions. And the Justice Incarnate from Multiversity come out.
Oh my god, they're back?
They're back. They're actually being used in a story. And it's just so freaking cool how much Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason are leaning on Grant Morrison's Superman mythos, to the point where Clark Kent is driving along in his truck. Superman Red Sun is in the middle of the road and Superman is whistling. And it's the same notes from Final Crisis where all the Superman sang to defeat Darkseid.
Good God.
Like, it's so cool. Like, all these little things. And then at the end of the issue, you have the Superman Incarnate, or not Superman Incarnate, but the Justice League Incarnate pop up and they're like, we need to find the new Superman, Kenan Kong, because he's going to be taken next. And it's like, whoa. And it's
so only Clark Kent is going to meet the Chinese Superman.
Yeah, and it's really cool because it's like it's only contained in the Superman title. It's not affecting Action Comics. Mm-hmm. It's not affecting Jean Luen Yang's story.
Everyone still has their own timeline, storylines happening.
Yeah.
While we get to see all these other cool things happen throughout mm-hmm. the universe.
And I really appreciate the fact that Tomasi and Gleason are writing these stories that are like really short. It's not these long 6-issue arcs. The Frankenstein story was 2 issues. The Damien story was 2 issues. Mm-hmm. This story is only supposed to be 3 issues that lead up to the Superman Reborn arc. It's so freaking cool.
Yeah.
Again, DC apologists, but at the same time, these are not giant universal.
You don't have to events. Get like issue 7 of Superman and then like issue 9 of Batman and then you throw in Flash for whatever reason.
And then the event is also on the Wonder Woman title but has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Marvel. Yeah. But
I think what's weird is we're not the only ones who feel the same sentiment. Like, I've read so many articles in the past couple of weeks of just how people are just really sick of Marvel shit. And they're just, Marvel sales are starting to see it. Like, there's people who are just like, what the fuck are they even doing anymore?
But Marvel's also shipping 10% extra comics free of charge to comic book retailers.
Yeah.
So when you look at their diamond charts later, it's like, yeah, they shipped this many titles. I'm like, but they shipped them for free.
Yeah, they didn't. They're not making money off those, though.
Yeah. And one of the big, like, as cool as Secret Empire might be with Hydra Cap doing
especially
his own
thing. Yeah, it's the culmination of this whole Hydra Cap storyline. Like, yeah.
It's going to be cool and pretty off the rails, but at the same time, it's like Marvel is kind of losing some of their ground. Like, they have decided we are no longer giving you digital codes with all of your comics, which I forgot happens in the first place.
Yeah,
there's always that page.
I never used them.
Yeah, it's free comics for anyone. I gave all my issues of Silk to someone. Just, here, you can have these digital codes. I'm not going to use them. But instead of giving the digital codes, they're going to add old stories to the back of their comics, like the way Archie does now, where you have Mark Waid's Archie story, and then you have a letter from Mark Waid saying, this is the story that kind of inspired me to write this story. Or here's an introduction of this character from the old Archie comics, and then it's like a 5-page thing of the old story. So it's kind of cool they're collecting older material, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm not going to read these.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't have time for that. I got a pile sitting over here I got to get through.
Silk and Spider-Gwen might not have these in the back of their issues, or, you know, Victor Von Doom Iron Man is not really going to relate to this. Are you going to give me like a random ass old Iron Man story?
Or Fantastic Four story that has Iron Man or Doom in it?
Yeah. Am I supposed to care about this story? Or is it going to like interrupt the main story that I'm already trying to enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I, I'm having such a love-hate relationship with Marvel right now because I'm like, yeah, Star Wars comics, these are the best things ever.
Oh, and then everything Marvel else, event. And then, oh.
Just give me more Star Wars events. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Vader Down was awesome.
It's come like on. Every single time they come out with a new relaunch, I'm finding less and less books that I enjoy from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I still enjoy Ms. Marvel because it's been G. Willow Wilson the whole freaking time. And that was like this. That seems like that was what made Marvel really, like, really good before all this shit happened. Like, they had the same writer for almost, like, years. Like, they had that long continuity that they...
The like, writer, the Kelly Sue era.
Yeah, Matt the Kelly Fraction, Sue, Matt Fraction. Kieran Dan Slott. I mean, Dan Slott's still there.
Dan Slott has not. You will have to drag Spider-Man away from his
Jason,
dead body.
I mean, I guess Jason Aaron still has all the Thor titles.
Jason Latour.
Yeah. Which is kind of, it's weird that I'm saying this, but then there's all the other things that are like, they're trying all these new things that aren't really grabbing people.
Yeah, it's
so
like,
it's weird. It's like you have your few writers that have been there and they, you know what to expect from them and you like their storylines and they call make reference and back to old storylines that they wrote.
But at the same time, I feel that same thing. It's because I follow creators more than I follow characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Kieran Gillen's writing Iron Man. I'm going to read this. Oh, Matt Fraction wrote Iron Man years ago. I'll read it. But at the same time, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I really like Charles Soule, but I don't like the Inhumans, so I'm not going to read this. It's like they have so much awesome talent between, you know, the 10 super A-list writers that they have. But these titles are like, I don't know. Like James Robinson just got announced for that Nick Fury Jr. title.
Mm-hmm.
Why a Nick Fury Jr. title?
And it seems like it's Ultimate Nick Fury, too.
No, that... it's Nick Fury Jr. It's the son of Nick Fury who looks like the Ultimate
Nick Fury.
Sam Jackson Nick Fury, yeah.
Because that's the one everyone recognizes.
Yeah, no one cares about White Nick Fury anymore since Original Sin where he became the new Watcher.
I think so.
Yeah, he murdered the Watcher and then became the new one, I think. Spoilers for a three-year-old comic. But... why do we need a Nick Fury Jr. title? Like, is it going to be like a new S.H.I.E.L.D. title? Is it going to be like an espionage stuff? I like James Robinson. He's a really interesting writer, but I'm not interested in that story right now. Whereas, like, DC announces a book, and it's like, hey, Justice League of America is coming out with Steve Orlando, Batwoman's coming out with Tynan and Marguerite Bennett, and then Super Sons is coming out with
that comes out next month.
Peter
so
Tomasi,
excited.
And I'm sitting there, and he's like, do you want to add these to your list? Yes, all three.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. John, take my money.
Do you want all the one-shot issues for Justice League of America? Yes. God. It's crazy how...
I'm going to put an analogy, which may or may not fit. This feels like Marvel's New 52 era right now. Like, not in terms of, like, the way they're structuring everything, but the... in terms of the way people are viewing their content and the way their content is being received.
Yeah.
Like, there's those few gems within there, like New 52 had. But then everything, there's just so many books that they're just rough.
Yeah, and Marvel's also trying to bring back old characters for people to be like, look, they're back. Richard Rider is back, everyone.
Quasar is back. Who the fuck's Quasar?
But... like, oh my god, reading the new Nova series, like, I'm just reading scans of, like, Richard Rider's return, and it's like, the Avengers never told you about the Annihilation Wave? The Annihilation what? And I'm like, what? The Keith Giffen, you know, Dan Abnett, amazing galactic run, and it just shows you, like, how out of touch Richard Rider was from everything. Mm-hmm. And that really makes a really interesting dynamic between, like, Sam Alexander, Nova, and then Richard. And I feel so bad for this character because he's like, is Spider-Man dead? No. What happened to Ms. Marvel? You mean Captain Marvel? Cyclops is dead. I'm his younger self from the past that's trapped in this present. I hate everything you just said.
I feel like that's a lot of Marvel fan sentiment right now, too.
Yeah.
Is they don't understand necessarily what's happening because a lot of these characters got introduced like several incarnations ago and now they're... it's like they're being reintroduced, but they're not. So people are coming in and it's like, who's this new Spider-Man? Who are these new characters? Like,
why is Wolverine a girl now?
Like, why is Logan old now? Why is Old Man Logan from that one story in here?
That's, but Old Man Logan's a good book.
I know. I'm not saying anything. I know. I'm just saying, like, to the outside perspective, like, to the movie fans, like, that's what made Marvel, like, shoot up in sales as they banked off the movies. It's like, okay, people like these movies, go check out these comics. And they're trying to make them, I feel like they're trying to make them more like the movies to get people, like, to see, like, the similarities. And it's kind of shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, we only have, like, 4 or 5 months until Thor comes back. Or for Ragnarok.
I don't even know if it's that early.
I think that, I mean, that might actually be, like, November.
I think it's November.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, wow, where's the Jane Thor story going to go? Oh, God.
Yeah, keep I her. Didn't even realize Unworthy Thor was a limited. Yeah, it's only five issues.
Oh, I thought it was six.
Yeah, it's only five, apparently. I thought it was supposed to be an ongoing.
That would have been cool.
Like, because I, from what I heard when it was first announced, is like it's going to tie into Mighty Thor. Like, Jane Thor is finally going to meet old Thor. They're finally going to, like, reveal themselves to each other. Supposedly.
Allegedly.
But it's like, you're going to do that in five issues now?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
But they brought back Beta Ray Bill.
Woo!
It's the best part. Yeah, I'm just in a lot of Marvel stuff now. It's like I'm just trade waiting. And I tell myself I'm going to wait, and I probably may never just get to it now. Like, again, my Marvel collection right now is just mainly Star Wars titles and the Spiders. I don't care about what the actual Avengers are doing.
Maybe six or seven. I got Miss Marvel, Silk, Spider-Gwen, Captain Marvel, Hawkeye. That might actually be it. I think it's only five.
Dr. Aphra.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Aphra. So, yeah, like six.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I like I said, I think your comparison to this being like the quote-unquote New 52 of Marvel, where they're trying to just throw everything at a wall and see what sticks, it's kind of rough. And it's like, again, there's creators that I absolutely love and adore on Marvel, but their titles just don't interest me, or the stories that they're trying to tell are really cool and I'll read them in trade, but I'm not going to be like, crap, Batwoman's coming out. I have to buy that.
Yeah. I think they really just need to step back from events for a bit. Like, yeah. Just have a storyline that doesn't lead into another goddamn event for once.
Yeah. Bendis was saying that he still plans on doing what would essentially be Spider-Man Volume 2 eventually. And it's like, come on, we're waiting.
It's like Rise of the Seven Seas we're waiting for.
Yeah.
Which may or may not happen this year.
Continuing on, Mass Effect Andromeda gets official release date for March 21st, 2017.
Woohoo!
I have decided that will be my first Mass Effect game.
That's a good start.
It's a brand new universe. I know the information of the original universe. That'll kind
you'll
of
pretty, tie I think you'll pretty much be up to speed of where everybody else is, because they're not trying to lean on
the original universe, because they're an entire universe.
Well, when the whole point is, when the Andromeda Initiative begins, it's like in between Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Right.
That's when they leave. And then it's 600 years later for them, because they're 600 light years away. So the events of Mass Effect 3 are long in the past, but they don't know that. They have no idea what happened.
Ever wonder what happened to Shepard? I don't know. I don't care.
We gotta go find a planet.
Yeah. And it's really cool because it'll be like so many different new species. Because I think the Salarians,
It's four. What sucks is.
It's four ships.
Yeah, we're not gonna see the Krogan, which sucks because the Genophage isn't cured at that point.
Yeah.
Do you even know what the Genophage is?
Yeah, it's the thing that kills Rex's people.
It made them sterile.
Yes.
So they can't kills reproduce. It doesn't kill them, but it
kills the culture.
Yeah.
Civilization. Gandhi with a nuke.
Yeah, and the Salarians are the ones who dropped it on them.
Yep.
Because the Krogan were vastly overpopulated and just going on rampages.
Yeah, that's like how Cap tried to get the Chitauri to go to Earth, but Quasar wiped out the entire invasion fleet in the latest issue of Captain America. Really cool, shows how much of an evil dick Cap is, but I'll read it in trade.
I'm still cautiously optimistic. Like, the more they show of it, I'm like, okay, it's starting to look a little more clean now. The combat, it's It's not anything new.
It doesn't help that every time they show a gameplay video, the person doesn't know what player, the fuck the person they're doing.
Doesn't know what they're doing. It's like, I'm going to use my jetpack. I gotta show that we have a jetpack now.
It's just like in Halo Reach, where it's like, oh, you got a jetpack as an ability. Oh. Or like when Call of Duty finally added wall running after the success of Titanfall. Yeah. All they did in their cutscenes were wall running. Like, you gotta show fans, like, new things. But at the same
time, I don't think they're trying to make this the, oh, it's a new RPG experience. No, it'll be, from what I expect from it, from what I've seen, I hope it's just a very solid RPG experience.
Yeah, it's...
in the Mass Effect universe.
What I think BioWare is trying to do is kind of lean on the same approach that they did with Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Where just each game is a different story with a different protagonist with a new combat system. If the combat system sticks, we're going forward with that for the rest of the game.
Well, it's like you had Dragon Age Origins, which was kind of pseudo turn-based.
It was like KOTOR.
Yeah. It was very slow. And then, but the writing was amazing. Like, that's what that kept you in that game was the writing and the story.
There's too much dialogue. I'm going to return this game.
You know what? I was 15. I got over it. But then Dragon Age 2 happened, and then everyone's like, ugh. The
combat was
great. The combat was good.
Story was iffy.
Story was like, okay.
And then Inquisition happened.
Yeah, and then Inquisition were like, okay, let's take the good combat, throw that in here. Add, like, the turn-based stuff that people sometimes want if they want to do that, and then we'll keep the good story elements.
Yeah, and like, Inquisition's, like, the culmination of everything Dragon Age worked for. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Andromeda is going to be the same thing for Mass Effect, depending
they
on
gotta
who
bring,
they have
to bring. They got to bring fans back from 3, because 3 left a lot of bad tastes in people's mouth.
There's going to be, you know, the Mass Effect apologists kind of like, we are with DC. They're always going to be there.
The more I've thought about it, like, as much as I enjoy parts of 3, it was not very, like, the way it kind of, like, tried to complete everything just didn't work for them. And they really dumbed down a lot of the combat. It kind of made me a little sad. I was like, oh, this is kind of simple now.
What's really cool is from, like, the latest gameplay trailer that they released last week, it seems like they have, like, a wait mode where you can stop moving or you can pause in and then, like, select your power-ups.
It seems like
you
can
your spell wheel from
it was
Dragon
interesting
Age.
I don't know if that was because it was some sort of dev kit they have that it's like, all right, I want to show off, like, we're just gonna go through and show off all this stuff, or if you can actually just go through, it's like, all right, I need some flamethrower action, I'm gonna be an engineer for this mission.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can do that, that's kind of cool. But at the same time, it kind of takes you out of that RPG experience a little bit of, like, okay, so I'm not one style of character this whole game. Okay.
Well, it's kind of like a mage in Dragon Age, essentially, where you can flip between the different classes.
Kind of. But you always had that base class. Like, you knew what style of combat you had, and then you had the extra abilities added onto it.
That's fair. Who knows?
It's like Mass Effect always had, like, each class had its own, like, advantages. Like Vanguard, you wanted to get in there and use shotguns and just pound people into the ground. You had Infiltrator, that's the stealth character that wants to stay long range. Engineer's kind of mid-tier with some tech. Yeah, there's a lot to Mass Effect. I could talk about it forever.
All right, so when you do the podcast by yourself, it'll be the Mass Effect
podcast. The Mass Effect cast, hopefully. The game's out by then.
Yeah. What's really cool, if March 21st is the final landing
date.
It is.
They've officially announced that.
That's the week before my spring break. So I can actually just sit there and play this game. I think it'll be a fun experience, and it'll be a world to actually, like, know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And I can actually join in.
If it's on the size of Dragon Age Inquisition, I will be excited.
Yeah. It sucks. Possibly because they won't have, like, that same giant open world experience that Dragon Age has.
They've already come out and said that not every planet's going to be fully explorable.
No. Will I be able to look at the planet and just, like, shoot satellites and scan for materials?
I'm pretty sure they got rid of that part. Thank
darn.
God.
Oh,
that was
my favorite.
That was the worst part of Mass Effect 2.
That was my favorite part to
Everything
watch.
Else in that game was great because it was character-driven.
Is there going to be a Mako?
A Mako? Yeah, Mako. There's a new Mako. Hopefully it doesn't suck ass. God, fuck the Mako.
Oh, goodness. Speaking of sci-fi things, the mid-season series the mid-season trailer for season 3 of Rebels came out, and it starts off with James Arnold Taylor from the original Clone Wars series as a holocron saying, "To all remaining Jedi, do not return to Coruscant. There is danger." And then it like remixes that point that there is danger throughout the entire trailer. And Ezra's like, "What's going on?" And the mid-season finale of Rebels kind of lent on this fact that Tatooine, that's where he is. And we're all like, oh shit.
They're going to find Obi-Wan.
Yeah, and that reveal happens at the very end of the trailer. And it's Maul walking up, and Obi-Wan's like, "You're not supposed to be here." And then flips his hood off and goes into his lightsaber stance, stance 3 for all of you listeners. He activates his lightsaber, and Maul ignites his. And it's like, oh shit. Oh shit.
Is Maul going to finally die? Is this it?
Is this, like, as much, and people are watching this trailer, it's like, thought Maul got cut in half in the first movie and died. It's like, oh, no, you never watched Clone Wars. And
he
I think it's not,
he hasn't been dead.
I think
forever.
It'll finally be a beautiful culmination of that Obi-Wan Maul rivalry and story. Mm-hmm. But other really cool things that happen in the trailer is that they go to Mandalore trying to request the Mandalorian Sabine's parents for help during the Empire conflict. Mm-hmm. And Sabine has a Darksaber, which is like the Mandalorian equivalent.
The sword.
Yeah, it's a black sword. And Kanan's training her, and Sabine and Ezra are fighting together. And then we see the Mon Geonosis with Saw Gerrera, and it's like, the season's going to be awesome. Hopefully, and basically, now that Dave Filoni is like the head of all Star Wars animation at Disney, he's gotten the okay. It's like, this show can last us however long you want. So when your story is done, we can end the series. And it's like,
nice.
Just never stop.
Get to your 7 seasons like you wanted with Clone Wars.
It'll be so good, because we also have scenes with Thrawn saying, "I know there is a mole here in the Empire," and then it stares straight at Kallus, who's been helping the rebels as Fulcrum this entire time. And there was a thing in the mid-season finale where it's like, "I know you."
Have
know
they brought
that
out
I
the
know.
Weasels yet?
No, he's Larmy. But we also see Thrawn with the blasters if someone's attacking him. We see him do some awesome karate. So what I hope is that they don't kill off Thrawn.
Just yet.
All of the Rebels villains, like the Grand Inquisitor, all of the brothers and sister Inquisitors, they all died in their season of Rebels. So I hope what happens is that Thrawn goes out to the Outer Rim at the end of the season. And he's what starts the First Order. Like, he comes back after the Emperor gets defeated.
That would be badass. Like, he's the one who just sparks the...
He is the one who knocks.
Yeah, he sparks the initiative.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Even though we kind of see the formation of the Rebels in, I think, Star Wars Bloodlines, that book. With, like, the cults that worships Leia as Lady Vader. It's crazy. But...
Is that still canon?
Yeah, Bloodlines is a new book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's part of the Journey into the Force Awakens series.
Cool.
So it's really cool to see all these Star Wars things. And
oh, just something about Obi-Wan. Something about Star Wars I learned. So the cover, the design that Ahsoka has on her book, mm-hmm. that was actually going to be her season 7 design that they scrapped. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
All the flashbacks, the gray pages, were season 7 materials.
Oh, wow.
So her going to fight Darth Maul, mm-hmm. her going to Mandalore... We're all supposed to be in the 7th season.
The flashback to when she meets Anakin for the first time.
Yep.
All that stuff.
Yeah, so like...
Man, that would have been cool.
The opening of the book is her going off to Mandalore because Darth Maul has taken over and become the Emperor of Mandalore. And she's talking to Anakin. She's like, oh, I wish you were on this mission with me. It's like, no, we have to go back to Coruscant. The Emperor has been kidnapped. So at the same time Ahsoka does her thing is when... freaking Anakin goes Darth Vader. So it's crazy.
Yeah, because, that's why I was like, oh shit, is that when that's supposed to happen?
Because there's so many what if, like what if Ahsoka was there?
Because they kind of changed the storyline a little bit for her to leave at the end of season 6, so it made sense in the grand scheme of things.
Well, she was supposed to leave no matter what.
Right, and then come back in season 7.
Yeah, and she wasn't going to join the Jedi Order. She was just going to go and be a general. But, like, man, there's so much stuff in the Star Wars universe. I'm like, we have such a rigid timeline, but there's so many cool things you can fill in the gaps with. Like, seeing Obi-Wan. So many cool
Jedi that I would rather care about.
Yeah, I want to see Quinlan Vos come back. Saw Ventress. She got a nice end to her story in the books that are canon now. Like, she won dark side, came back to the light, kind of went dark again, and then became a gray Jedi. Yeah, she was a bounty hunter at the end of her career with Quinlan Vos. There's so many cool things, man. I could just talk about Star Wars forever. That'll be my solo episode.
Yeah.
And then the last piece of Marvel news that we had, the last one. Hugh Jackman may return as Wolverine for a Deadpool Wolverine movie.
Yeah, apparently it's more of just speculation that, because Hugh Jackman, he keeps saying that he's going to retire from Wolverine after Logan, but now he's kind of rethinking it because Ryan Reynolds talking to him. Right, yeah, Ryan Reynolds has been talking to him. He's like, hey, it'd be cool if we did a Deadpool Wolverine movie.
Let's get X-Men Origins 2.
So he's kind of like hesitating on if he wants to come back or not.
It's like the Mark Hamill thing. It's like, yeah, I'm going to retire from the Joker.
Is it? I guess I got to come back and do Killing Joke.
I guess I got to read Trump tweets as the Joker.
God, that was
so great. Did you listen to it?
I did. I was like, oh my God, it's way too accurate.
I think it'd be really cool to see a Wolverine Deadpool story, like the two of them doing like
it's very
the
much
the most annoying buddy cop movie.
But I mean, isn't that what Deadpool and Cable is, pretty much? It'd be the same kind of thing as Wolverine's the straight man, Deadpool's the funny guy.
That's fair.
It's the same thing with Cable and Deadpool.
Yeah. Or what they could do is like another Weapon X story.
Oh, yeah.
Where they find Francis again. Francis never really died. But.
Or they could do it like Enemy of the State and have Deadpool or something in it. Or have like Laura, if Laura stays in the universe and that is actually X-23, like she goes rogue or something and they have to find her.
Yeah. Or maybe revamp Old Man Logan to be that story again. There's a lot of things that they could do. And like I said, Hugh Jackman has been this character.
He's the quintessential Wolverine at this point.
A decade and a half, right? Since 2000. It's insane. It's like they can never recast Wolverine. That's the thing.
At this point, even it's
if
like
they
impossible.
Have like, even if they have like Tom Hardy or another like really awesome actor, he can't be Logan.
No one's going to have that. Like, I feel like even the comics like started making him look more like Hugh Jackman.
There was a while where that was true. Yeah. Man, I don't want him to go away. But
he's always been like the bright spot.
Yeah, he's been the one saving grace for all the Fox movies. Sorry, Sophie Turner. You weren't that great as Jean Grey.
No. Still cool to see, but
yeah,
needed work.
And I just love the fact that in every X-Men movie, no matter what, there has to be a Wolverine scene. And I can see how that gets tiring. But and how he could want to retire, but having a Deadpool Wolverine movie might be really cool, where they do Enemy of the State or they do a Weapon X story where they return to Stryker's lab and have like these moments. I think they did like an animated episode of that in the 90s where Logan goes back and he has to fight like Omega Red or something. Maybe. I don't know. But
something that is coming back for sure.
Which was announced like literally an hour ago, and I saw it on Twitter while I was sitting on your couch. But Matt Ryan made a tweet and said, hey, I guess this thing might be cool. And it was an article from Deadline saying that Constantine is coming back as an animated series on CWC headed by Greg Berlanti. So, like you were saying about the quintessential Wolverine. Wayne,
this is like the quintessential Constantine now.
Yeah. And God, it's so freaking great. He gets like, this is what happens when fans riot. Mm-hmm. We finally get what we want. Fuck you, Firefly. Constantine is back.
Firefly will never happen. It's too late now.
Yeah. Granted, every episode for Constantine is only going to be like a 6 to 10 minute episode, but it's still canon to the rest of the CW universe. Mm-hmm. And even then, they're trying to figure out a way to bring Constantine back to live action because his appearance on Arrow.
I guarantee this will be a test.
Yeah.
It's like, how well does this show do? Like, how much do people want this?
A lot. Make him join Legends, even.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Vixen has been kind of like a celebrated hero lately for both the Legends of Tomorrow cast and then her CW Seed show have been working out really well. But with, you know, Constantine being a 6 to 10 minute production, it'll be really cool to see what happens. Like, will they finally be able to do like a 10 minute episode with Swamp Thing, or
yes,
will they bring in Zatanna sneakily?
Ooh, that would be great.
Again, it's, you know, the fan speculation of, okay, if this character shows up, that means all these characters can show up.
Dead Man. Just anything from the Justice League Dark movie.
Yeah. I really want...
When's that supposed to come out?
I don't know.
Soonish, right?
I think so. But I really want this show to work out, and I will watch this show just as I bought my Constantine Blu-ray to support this character, because, God, that show died way too young. It's so good. Why?
Yep.
Crying. BRB. Sad day.
January 24th.
Oh.
Is when Justice League Dark comes out. On digital, and then DVD Blu-ray is February 7th.
Okay. I wonder if they'll do a deluxe edition with a little tiny Constantine toy, just like they did with Bad Blood and Nightwing.
Probably.
Good times, yo. Speaking of other movies that are coming out, Ben Affleck stated that if the Batman movie doesn't come together right, he won't do the project.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows how dedicated he is to the project as well.
He doesn't want to just make it for the money. He wants it to be good.
I've been dreaming of being Batman. I became Daredevil because I thought I would never be Batman. But now I'm Batman.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And if Warner Brothers needs to respect that, because if they try to force a Batman movie without Ben Affleck, you're fucked.
Yeah.
At this point.
I think he has a lot of room, though, because mm-hmm. he's already been the confirmed director and star. So.
Right, but does that concern you, since it's like, all right, we've shown Deathstroke, we've also heard rumors that the script isn't done, but we also heard that there was this, he talked to Geoff Johns about writing a script together, and that was done already, so it's,
the movie's 2 years out, or yeah, 1 year out now.
It's still just weird, like, we keep getting all this speculating or this conflicting information about it.
It's people on the internet. Like, again, the worst thing in the world is fan speculation,
mm-hmm.
because people are so passionate about these projects.
Right. But at the same time, when you don't have any news, people get worried about it because it's like, oh shit, is it going to be bad? They haven't talked about it at all. They're not promoting it.
They haven't mentioned anything about Avengers Infinite or Infinity War aside who's going to be in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, people have been worried about Mass Effect since they've shown 2 trailers, and everyone's like, oh God, is it going to suck? Like, and we saw the rough cutscene with the facial animation. I'm like, ugh. But at the same time, it's like, all right, once they, like, a month out, they're going to start just revamping.
Yeah.
And just, here's all this content about it.
Here's the day one patch.
Like, hey, I said, digital, man.
It's,
everything's fine.
It's really hard because with fan speculation and all those things, and, you know, this is a project. You know, most films can finish in like 3-4 months. Look at
the director for Arrival and Sicario. Sicario?
Cicero?
Cicero? No, I think it's Sicario. The
drug movie? No.
Yeah, I think it's a drug movie. But he released movies back to back, and he's going to have another movie out this year.
Yeah. I mean, again, we don't know what production looks like. We know that Ben Affleck is working on the script. He is working. Geoff Johns worked on the script with him. The fact that when Batman versus Superman came out, and there were all these reports saying, yeah, Geoff Johns and Ben Affleck wrote this movie in like 2 weeks. I'm like, I highly doubt that's the finished product.
Yeah, I doubt that. I really doubt that.
It's the same thing with reshoots. Like, with Rogue One, when that came out, all the reshoots were the beginning of the movie, where it shows Cassian murdering that dude before the stormtroopers find him, where Jin is in that prison camp, where Bodhi is being taken to Saw Gerrera, or how the climactic thing of Jin being on top of the satellite dish was in the reshoot because the original version had her running on the beach with the hard drive. Like, reshoots aren't a bad thing. The reshoot in Suicide Squad gave us the Flash taking on Boomerang for 5 seconds. Like, I will not worry about a project until it's there. See some actual
content.
Like, if I will not worry about a movie until I'm sitting in the movie theater. I will not worry about a video game unless my controller is in my hand and I press A. Like, it's just.
Or you hear bugs. Or, like, you hear from experience.
Yeah. Look at you, Battlefield. Or Battlefront. Yeah. Or anything.
Or how you told me don't go see Passengers in the theater. It's like, it's not worth it.
It was a decent movie, but it's not a movie theater movie that I would go see multiple times. Because that's what I do. Because I have an AMC gift card. But, yeah, there's a lot of things to worry about that you can worry about. Oh, man, is Ben Affleck going to have a Robin? Oh, man, is Deathstroke going to be cool? Oh, man, it's not worth it.
We don't know yet.
It's way too much stress to have. I'm not going to be on Reddit every single day looking at every single rumor.
Every single fan theory.
But what if Deathstroke was Robin? Okay, Suicide Squad, calm down.
Calm yourself.
Still a cool premise. And then one thing that actually is coming out fairly soon, NBC's Powerless, which went through production hell. The writer left, the original director left, because they revamped the show from the original thing. Powerless was supposed to be, we here work at a law firm, and we help
superhero
cases and help you do like insurance things. But now it's Will Arnett's character comes in like a month ago for a trailer, buys the place out, says you're all working for Wayne Enterprises now, building materials. And that's what the latest trailer that came out was, is that, you know, Alan Tudyk, the dude from Community, one famous Disney star girl that I can't remember off the top of my head, they all work at Wayne Enterprises now, and what their job is to build materials in order to protect civilians from superheroes. Like, there was like an umbrella that would block rubble.
Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, Disney girl.
She's in that.
A lot of people are in that, but it's like, okay, this is another example of showing you how something went from production to a whole different entity by the time it comes out. And I mean, it's not something to worry about if it sucks or if you're not interested. Well, that sucks for you. Some people might find this more interesting.
Not every single piece of content is going to be for you.
Hey man, DC Superhero Girls is totally aimed for a 24-year-old man, right? No?
No, just okay. Me. Okay.
Yeah, we're not the My Little Pony fandom. No. Calm yourselves. It's a whole world.
It's a weird fandom culture that they take such attachment to it that it's like, no, this is my property. This is my thing. And I hate to see it, like, be shit.
Hey, man, I hate the fact you have to America's Hydra now. I'm going to stop reading Marvel altogether for one title. One title has screwed you out of an entire company. Okay. Calm thyself.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can go on with,
oh,
like,
man,
ridiculous
Rob Liefeld's
things.
Coming back to Image. I got to drop all my Image titles now.
He's going back to writing those extreme books with pouches and big guns that doesn't affect witches at all or Wicked and Divine.
Literally anything else.
Yeah. Freaking gosh. It's not like Rob Liefeld helped develop Image in the first place. He wasn't.
Even though it was really bad at the start.
Hey, man, Savage Dragon for life.
Spawn. I've never read Spawny Spawn.
Oh, well. Those young folks don't even know the original Image characters. What about that Invincible shit? Oh, man. All right. So that goes everything for news. So we're going to do recommendations now.
Or we can do that later.
Oh, we should do discussion first.
Yeah.
Okay. So you came up with the discussion question this week?
Yeah, it was mostly aimed for... I came up with a better one for when Jim was going to be on. I was like, we'll save that for later. When Jim is actually here, not dying.
Is it the Power Rangers podcast?
No, it's all the Power Rangers podcast.
Ivan?
No.
Ivan News?
No, I would straight up just leave.
Make this area a little bit more roomier. I really like the couch mic now, though. I want that to be my spot. I want
the couch mic.
Just lean back.
Just the lounge chair.
Yep. All right. So what's your question?
So with 2017 upon us now, and with all this video game talk and a lot of big releases coming out, what games are you excited for or anticipating for this year?
Nothing. Stardew Valley 2.
Stardew Valley 2.
How about you go first?
Half-Life
3, actually.
Enough with your memes.
Half-Life 3 will happen.
I'm cautiously optimistic for Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. I hope it's just a solid RPG. Doesn't have to blow me away. As long as I have fun with it, I'm good. Halo Wars 2, that'll be fun. Haven't had a Halo Wars game since, 2009?
The story is going to be fucking awesome.
It looks cool.
They wake up. It's the end of Halo 5. They don't know what's going on.
The brutes are back.
That's going to be my favorite part.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is supposed to come out, and I don't know. I played the first one, but I'm
Revolver or Redemption?
Redemption.
Okay.
First Redemption game. But it's not something I'm ridiculously excited about. It's Rockstar, so I'm sure it'll be good, but that's saying I haven't even finished the GTA 5 story
because we never play GTA.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's they're good games. It's just never something that pulls me in. I much rather watch idiots play them and make videos about them.
See, if we play, we get legitimately mad at each other sometimes playing it.
Because we kill each other.
If we're not free roaming, when we do heists, it's just stressful.
Yeah. What else? Resident Evil 7's coming out.
It's
very soon, too. I think it's February.
Yeah, I'm legitimately excited for that because we got shafted so hard for 6.
Yeah, that was not a good game.
I'm one of those... Okay, I am a fan that's started only playing 4. 4 was my first Resident Evil game on the GameCube. That shows the diversification of my consoles. I didn't, because my PlayStation was busted. So I played Resident Evil 4 on my GameCube. Fun game. Played 5 on 360. Went back and played the old ones with the fixed cameras and everything that were legitimately scary. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited for Resident Evil 7 Biohazard or Biohazard 7 Biohazard.
Yep.
Because it's something different mechanically than all the other games. It's that first person point of view. It's what PT should have been.
Yeah.
And that's why everyone says this is the new PT essentially. And I'm not going to have to worry about, finding the unlimited ammo gun or the unlimited ammo rocket launcher or the hand cannon. But, I'm dealing with this situation where I have to solve this story-based mystery, which is what really grabbed me is the hillbilly house and trying to escape the house and finding out what the fuck is wrong with this family. You got to play the demo.
I'm just going to be in a ball of anxiety the whole time.
It's good for your heart.
God. Can I just have some aromatherapy candles just in my nose the whole time? It's all right, I'm calm.
See, I'm imagining you shoving them in your nose and then the flames are flicking downward. But it'll be really cool because one of the things is I don't know jack about the game. I've played every update of the demo, but this is a whole new experience. I'm not worried about Leon Kennedy or Chris Redfield.
Not even any. They haven't even mentioned any of the other characters at all.
And, at the end of the game, we're going to discover that this is in Raccoon City or something.
It's all Wesker again.
No, Wesker's dead.
Oh, yeah. You kill him at 5, don't you?
Yes.
When you punch the boulder. Shout out to Chris Redfield.
Yeah. But, like I said, it's a cool game because it's going to be a whole different experience than all the other Resident Evil games. And I don't like playing horror games. I played Layers of Fear on PC, and I've played...
the last horror game I willingly played was Dead Space 2.
And that's not even scary.
It's survival horror.
Yeah. Because
you have a shit ton of guns.
Yeah, and this Resident Evil game is going to be what's going on? I haven't even seen
it.
It
just seems like a lot of the horror games are going for the, you are completely defenseless, you have to be sneaky.
Yeah, and that's the best, I guess Alien Isolation might go along with that.
No, that is, because you can get a flamethrower eventually, but even then, it's not even that.
But I always consider that just to be, straight up stealth.
Yeah.
I never thought of that as,
you can't kill the alien.
Yeah. Or the robots.
Yeah. The Kanyes.
One thing that I'm excited about is the Untitled Battlefront sequel that's supposedly coming out this year. Again, I love the Star Wars universe so much, and I'm really interested to see what this is going to be, because I think EA or DICE were forced to only do original trilogy content. Like, they couldn't come up with their own stuff. So if this planet takes us through the Clone Wars, or takes us through the First Order, or takes us, again, doing some other shit in the original trilogy, would be really cool to have. And maybe they can use remnants of the older property where you can literally go from land to space, or make it feel...
If they could do that,
yeah,
that would be worth it.
Like, I still play Battlefront every once in a while. If I feel like flying a plane, I'll load that up. I got 3 achievements this week in Battlefront, just flying my X-Wing around. And
for me, I'm not that excited about it, just because I was never super excited about the first Battlefront, even though I like DICE and I like Battlefield. It felt like a Battlefield, like a toned down Battlefield game with the Star Wars skin.
Yeah.
It didn't feel that, it wasn't complex. You just bought guns. That was it. There wasn't any, the blasters didn't feel like anything special.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there were 2 guns that were broken, and then anything else was just kind of bleh.
That's fair. Yeah.
And I didn't like the flying in it.
Yeah, there's some new flying mechanics that are really cool. Like, they actually upped the score for, like, Flight Squadron. So instead of 250, it's now, like, 400. So that makes the game last another 5 whole minutes. But with all the new updates, you can be like, yeah, you can play as Luke's X-Wing instead of the Millennium Falcon. Or you can play as Wedge. Or you can play as Darth Vader now in his TIE Fighter. And then you can get, like, buddies. Like, you land on a B-Wing power-up and 2 B-Wings spawn, and they just follow you for the rest of the game. Or 2 Y-Wings, and who brings a bomber to a dogfight? I mean, really, guys, come on. But, you know, the make-or-break point for me is literally if they are going to have a space battle where I can attack a cruiser, like in the old Battlefront games. I mean, they kind of
did that with the Death Star DLC.
Yeah, where you do the trench run, but
and then you go on to the ship. And then you go on to the ship, and then you go back to space.
And I can't buy that DLC by itself. I have to buy the season pass.
That is dumb.
And that's like the only piece of content that I want. Or the Battle of Scarif might be cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, depending on the content for Battlefront, I'm on your boat of cautiously optimistic, because I love the Star Wars universe and I enjoy the space part of Star Wars more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to that. And same thing with Halo Wars. I love Halo Wars. And I love RTS games. My first ones being like Red Alert, Command & Conquer 3, or Age of Empires 2, which is still getting more content.
Really?
Yeah, they released a DLC last year and they're releasing another DLC this year.
How old is that game then?
Age of Empires 2 is getting new content, but not Age of Empires 3. Think about it.
Like, what the fuck?
Because 2 is the good one.
I mean, Blizzard's still patching Diablo 2.
Doom released new levels.
Yeah, freaking Diablo 2 had a patch like a year or two ago.
Yeah. So it's really interesting to see. And like I said, I'm not like overly excited for any games coming out this year.
I feel like we had that this last year. It's like, oh my god, Final Fantasy 15's out. Last Guardian came out.
I've waited 10
Kingdom
years.
Hearts is still tentatively listed as 2017. I don't think it's
Kingdom
Hearts
2.8 comes out next year.
No, it comes out this year. It comes out like a month.
Yeah. But there's no Final Fantasy games listed for this year. For 2017.
There was like some Dissidia project I saw. I don't know what.
Yeah, but most
of
the time those are arcade machines.
Oh, okay. Now.
But like last 2016, I got spoiled because, oh man, Final Fantasy Explorers for the 3DS. Oh man, World of Final Fantasy for the PS4. Oh man, Final Fantasy 15. Oh, don't forget about Type-0. Oh, don't forget about this. Oh, by the way, this year, 2017, we're releasing all the Final Fantasy games again. You can get 13 in HD. Oh, if you buy the
Crystal.
Yeah, that
could come out. They might do that.
Yeah, or you get the Crystal Collection Edition, which is one all the way through 13 in one disc.
Gonna be like
or one download
bucks.
But it's like, holy shit. And I think we get the first episode of 7 this year.
Ooh, that'd
possibly
be cool. That'd be fun.
But you're right, 2016 was like the year of the hype train,
because all these big name games, Star Citizen's supposed to come out this year. We'll see if that happens, and I'm curious to see if it does well or not.
Yeah.
Because they keep showing stuff that looks really good.
Or I feel like more than anything, these new updates that are coming out for games, like, holy shit, the first Alien Contact and Elite Dangerous happened.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched that cutscene, and I'm like, what? I don't know anything about Elite Dangerous, but this is horrifying.
What else? Destiny 2 is supposed to come out. They haven't said, Bungie hasn't said anything.
I doubt it.
I feel like it will. I think it'll be a September or October launch. E3, they'll probably show something for it.
That's fair. New Uncharted game comes out this year, too.
Yeah, like the side, like a side game.
Yeah.
From what I'm looking forward to Destiny 2 because it's supposed to be what they originally wanted to do now.
Bows and arrows.
God.
All the way.
Like, their original, like, the sci-fi fantasy game. Like, mm-hmm. Destiny 1 kind of got... They toned it down from what the original idea was, and this new one's supposed to be a lot more expansive, a lot more content, a lot more customization.
I'll try it.
So, we'll have to see if they actually do anything with it.
Yeah.
Either it'll... My expectation is it's either going to be a September or October launch, or it'll be early quarter next year.
Yeah. I forgot E3, hasn't happened yet.
No.
We just got done with CES.
We're still going off of announcements from last year and the Game Awards and
E3. Bethesda's going to show up as, like... Bethesda's finally going to do the thing where they announce a game, and it's like, and you can download it in 3 hours, and everyone just panics.
I don't know if they have time for that. I don't know if they've developed anything.
Well, Oblivion's HD remake is supposed to come out this year.
Eh. I'm kind of getting tired of HD remakes. It's like, some games is like, oh yeah, I'd love to play that game again, but other games I'm just like, yeah, I already put time into that.
As someone who's bought Final Fantasy VII... 6 times.
See, I've only played it once, so I'm actually looking forward to the re-release,
yeah,
or the HD release.
Yeah,
especially since it's been so long.
But I'm just talking about, I have the original core Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah,
the game that has not changed.
Polygons.
Well,
Prey.
I don't know what Prey is.
They've changed it. It's another game from Arkane, so the people who made Dishonored.
Okay.
But. Originally, it was supposed... Did you ever play the original Prey?
No.
It was that really cheesy, like, oh, you're a Native American that has all these, like, ancient powers, and then you're going to go into space.
That's racist.
And fight aliens. It was a really fucking weird game. But now it's like... And then they announced Prey 2 a while, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And it was supposed to be, like, this really cool-looking, like, sci-fi... like kind of bounty hunter esque game that you were going to be, but now it's been reshaped completely into this kind of like Bioshocky style game where you're like on the space station and aliens kind of are like trying to invade it inside it. And you're like the only person that made it through.
Interesting.
It pretty much looks like a new Bioshock, but it looks cool.
Okay. Speaking of games that we don't have on our list though, but Horizon Zero Dawn is supposed to come out this year.
Oh yeah.
You that talking about cool. The Native Americans. I was like, oh yeah, robot dinosaurs.
Robot dinosaur was bows and arrows.
Yeah, and that's a PS4 release. I'll probably pick it up.
Ghost Recon Wildlands is apparently coming out, but I don't think I'm going to get it.
I like the Tom Clancy games. Like, I liked Rainbow Six Vegas, and for the week that I played The Division, it was kind of fun. But
see, Division, I've never been a Division Ghost Recon kind of person. Got fucked. Wildlands is apparently supposed to be more open world RPG style, but
that's right. I remember seeing the preview for it, and I thought it was just another trailer for The Division because they look so similar.
It looks very similar.
Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, a bummer. We're not gonna really see too many releases though until around E3 when they actually announce more. Scorpio's supposed to come out. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, your Xbox wailing last night.
God, yeah.
It did the same thing to me.
My Xbox is starting to feel its age. It's about almost 3 years old.
Kill me!
It's got to make it till the end of the year, buddy. You can do it.
Yeah. We're also supposed to get the Switch this year.
Oh, yeah. March.
And if it's true that Pokemon Stars, which is going to be the sequel to Sun and Moon, comes out, I will be a day one Switch buyer. Because Sun and Moon was, like, the best Pokemon story ever created. Other things, it's really weird looking at all the platforms that are still alive. The 3DS, Droid, iOS, man. Linux, Mac, the Switch, the PS4, Vita is still alive.
I'm sure there's going to be some indie darling that takes us all by storm.
Yeah, I'm also really excited for Hatsune Miku, the Project Diva Future Tone. I don't know what that is. One. The Vita still has releases, which is crazy, but I guess it's if it's the PS4 Vita crossplay, it makes sense.
It still doesn't work very well.
There's a Digimon game coming out at the end of the month.
Oh, Persona 5 comes out this year. Oh, yeah. Oh shit.
April.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be the time I finally get a PS4.
Or just borrow mine.
Yeah.
We'll barely use it.
We'll see.
There's another Woolly World game for Yoshi.
I saw somewhere that Last of Us 2 was supposed to be this year, but I'm like, no way. No fucking way is that coming out this year.
No. Lego Worlds. More Lego Dimension open world
style thing.
I'm just looking at the list. But more Danganronpa games. There's two being released. Hmm. All of Kingdom Hearts is being re-released for the PS4. Old Time Hockey.
Woo!
Oh, Sniper Ghost Warrior 3, where you be a sniper, a ghost, or a warrior. That was a really interesting demo to look at, too.
Ukulele. Yeah, it looked interesting, but it kind of looked buggy. Yeah, I mean, it was a demo, but it still looked kind of glitchy for some core mechanics.
Ukulele is coming out. Injustice 2 is coming out. I'm not a fighter game person, but I love the Injustice story.
Yeah.
Shenmue 3.
I don't
care. Tentative release for December.
Do not care about that game.
Shenmue is also supposed to get like an HD remake. Agents of Mayhem, the Volition Saints Row creators are coming back. I'm really excited for that because I love Saints Row. Call of Cthulhu, which is going to be a survival horror game based on Lovecraft.
Okay, that actually sounds pretty cool. I think I'll play that.
Yeah, Crackdown 3 is going to come out. Cuphead, which is the boss game simulator.
Oh, yeah.
That one looks kind of fun.
Because it looks like an old Disney cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Divinity Original Sin 2 is coming out.
I've played like an hour of the first one.
Yeah, Dungeon Crawler. Final Fantasy. Oh, we do get a Final Fantasy this year.
Do we?
12, the Zodiac Age. So an HD release of that.
Oh, I hope if there's an Xbox release, point. No, there isn't? Damn it.
Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale is coming out.
Oh, shit, that's coming out this year.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's a lot. I'm skipping over. Lego City Undercover.
Oh, boy.
Lego City was a good game. I enjoy the Lego games quite a bit.
I have a love-hate relationship with them.
The new Marvel vs. Capcom game. Metal Gear Survive, which is the zombie one.
I think everybody's going to give that one a giant middle finger.
Nidhogg 2.
Oh, God.
Final screen. Ooh, Ni No Kuni 2. I'm actually excited for that. My JRPGs are popping up, so now I'm excited for 2017.
Near Autonoma. Don't know if you're excited for that at all.
I don't know.
It looks like an action RPG. Looks cool.
Parappa the Rapper. Remastered.
The one thing we all needed.
Project Sonic.
Sonic.
Red Dead 2. Scalebound.
Oh, yeah.
The space one.
That kind of looks cool.
The dragon one.
Yeah, that's the one where you're jumping on dragons.
Yeah, and that one's already on... I don't think it's on Xbox previews, but it's coming soon, and that's going to be cross-play between Windows and Xbox.
That's cool.
Sea of Thieves. That one looks interesting. Sonic Mania.
Oh, yeah.
The South Sonic Park Mania. Game Steven would talk about.
Which apparently those games are actually really good.
Yeah, it's just a straight up RPG. Mm-hmm. Star Citizen, we talked about. State of Decay 2, which will be really fun.
I've never played the first one.
It's great. Tekken 7. Zelda.
Oh, yeah, Breath of the Wild.
When?
Which is supposed to be a Switch launch title.
We'll see. Uncharted Lost Legacy, Untitled Destiny sequel, Need for Speed, Untitled Pikmin.
I don't think there's much else.
Yeah.
At least right now.
Xenonauts, not Psychonauts. I thought this was this year and it's next year. I got really excited.
I think it's early next year. Okay, Smeagol. Anyway, should we go on to Rex?
Yeah, I'm still looking at games. Go for it.
Okay. So, my rec this week is Batman issue 14. It is a Batman and Catwoman story from... It's part one of the epilogue for I Am Suicide.
By Tom King and art done by Matt Gerard of Sheriff of Babylon fame. Everyone should check out Sheriff of Babylon.
It was such a beautiful and tragic issue. It's pretty much quiet, not quite Night in Gotham, but Quiet Night with Catman, or not Catman, Catwoman and Batman. Yes, Catman.
Kite Man.
And Kite Man, because that's the running joke for Tom King now, is this Kite Man. But it's this really beautiful issue. It's like Batman comes up, the Catwoman's like, I know you didn't kill 237 people, but I have to take you to Blackgate, because that was the agreement. And Catwoman convinces Bruce, it's like, just let me have one night. Just one night in Gotham to do whatever I want. And Batman's like, okay, but first we gotta go take down all these baddies. It's just a montage of them fighting all of Batman's
C-list
Clock villains.
King, Condiment King. I was legitimately surprised to see the Condiment King.
Yeah. There's like a few others. And then Kite Man. And then
he had a whole page to himself.
Yeah. Kite Man. Hell yeah. As he's bleeding on the ground. And then it just ends with this beautiful scene with Selina and Bruce. Just between the two of them. It's kind of like that tragic thing of like they want to be together, but they know that they never will be.
I really enjoyed, you know, after doing every saving Gotham, Catwoman breaks into her own apartment, steals her own shit, breaks that stuff, and it's just like a pouch full of diamonds. It's like, Bruce, I want you to use this to buy me an orphanage.
Yeah, go build an orphanage in my name.
Or it's not even in her name. It's just go build a new orphanage, because that gave me so much happiness. So I want to give the same happiness to someone else. And it's just such a poetic issue, but it's like, but for tonight, let's do something that we want and then proceed to bang on the roof in the most poetic way possible.
With Kite Man off in the corner, just bleeding out, unconscious.
It might be another roof, but...
It's nearby.
Like, you're right. It's just such a poetic thing. And I really look forward to seeing Tom King finish that epilogue to I Am Suicide and how it leads into I Am Bane.
Yeah, I mean, even the start of the issue is... Catwoman's like, please, Bruce, let's just have this one night. It's like, I can't let you do that, because I know you're gonna run away. Like, this, we've done this before.
It's like, and it's like a game of cat and mouse,
the cat and the bat. But yeah, it's just, I'm curious to see how this epilogue is going to end. But man, I just love Tom King. Like, I know this isn't an issue for, like, people still don't really like Tom King. Feels like he has a very similar, like a specific style of writing that you have to like, of every piece comes together eventually, but not all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just, man, it was such a poetic and beautiful issue.
Yeah. And right now he's also working on another DC project, Secret Under Wraps, with, I think Mitch Gerard is also going to be his artist for that.
Nice.
While Sheriff of Babylon is on break. But he was hanging out with Dan Didio at dinner, and I guess Didio was a little drunk, and it's like, you can write whatever you want. What do you want? And I guess Tom King was like, how about you give me a series and I'll write it? Because that's how Vision came together. That's how Omega Men came together, was someone told him, write this series. And I mean, those two books are some of the most poetic, most human stories.
He has
to come
this
out of
very
comics.
Shakespearean element to his writing. Like, he's very theatrical, and like, he loves that. It seems like he loves that tragic storyline.
Mm-hmm. It's just writing these flawed characters over and over again. So some people are like, oh, it's our Legion of Superheroes story, and someone's like, well, what if he wrote the Atomic Knights though? I'm like,
what the fuck are they?
They're an alternate universe where like Earth gets contaminated. It's where we see Robo Batman from Multiversity.
Okay.
Who also shows up in Superman issue 14.
Cool.
Great stuff. All right. Batman.
Great.
All right. On my end, I have Midnighter and Apollo. It's on issue 3 of 6 right now. you need to read it. Steve Orlando is like the master of just writing badass dialogue constantly and consistently. So the story is about Midnighter and Apollo just trying to find their place in the world. It's like Apollo is essentially a godlike being, and Midnighter is Midnighter, scary gay black leather Batman. And one of the things that happens in the story is that Apollo gets killed. Apollo is taken to hell by the villain Neron, who's the big bad of the series. And what Neron wants is Apollo's soul. And then Midnighter is like, nah, I'm not having that. Goes to hell in his human mortal form to fight the person that killed Apollo, which was Mauser, who is the Lord of the Gun. Like, he has 8 arms and a gun in each hand.
Nice. And
the one thing that could have killed Mauser, he received in exchange for Apollo's life when he broke it. And it's like, what are you going to do now, Midnighter? And Midnighter's like, I have 1 bullet, and I will kill you by the end of this issue. And they fight. Midnighter dodging bullets, getting shot, throws the bullet into Mauser's skull. And it's like, ah, fuck, it hurts. And then Midnighter just straight up headbutts him so hard that the bullet flies out the other end of this dude's skull.
He hits the blasting cap.
Yeah, it's just so fucking metal. Like, I love Steve Orlando writing Midnighter from like the DCU period to now. It's just been such a really cool trip. And now Midnighter is finally confronted Neron, and it's like, I want Apollo back, and I'm taking him with me, and I'm going to kill you. And
coming through my house. Yeah. Take my boyfriend.
My favorite scene, I need to find the picture, of the badass dialogue. So, Apollo, when I was 12, I came out to my family. It didn't go well. My father sent me to live with my aunt. We didn't speak. We didn't get a chance. When I was 13, I was abducted by aliens. I spent years on an operation table as they turned to make their own version of Superman. By trial and error, I escaped. I tried to go to my home. My father suddenly had 2 reasons to say I wasn't human. But I didn't stop. The aliens, my father, invasions from another universe, none of it stopped me. I lived for myself, not him, not them. You think you can break me, Neron? People have been trying to break me my entire life. And I'm like, this is just so fucking badass. Steve Orlando is such a phenomenal writer. And every issue of Midnighter and Apollo just gets me like really hyped up, and I want to go like lift weights or something, because it's just such a really hardcore ride. Like
scary gay Batman.
Yeah. So definitely go check out Midnighter and Apollo. There's 3 issues left. It's a monthly book. You can find the back issues pretty easily. And you definitely just got to support Midnighter. He's been such a fantastic character that's been reintroduced to the DC world. So read it.
Do it.
Do it. I'm kind of upset we're not going to hit like a 3-hour mark between the two of us.
No, we don't need any more 3-hour podcasts.
You're right. Let's go for 4.
No. No.
All right. Do you want to add anything?
Not really.
All right.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley time. Let's go.
Yep. Gotta go back to the farm. Yep. Farmland. I'm one star away from getting my waifu to 12 stars, and I get that star drop.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Man, that game, man. It's hard explaining it to people when it's like, yeah, I play Overwatch and I play Stardew Valley. What? You play a farm game? Yeah. I cannot physically explain what it is about the game unless you play it. It's just something about it. It's just like, I'm just going to do it one more day. Just one more day.
It's 3 a.m. Just one more day in real life, not in game days. The 7-minute hour ticks, man.
Yep.
There's mods that make it 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
On Steam. But if you do that, you void yourself of getting any of these Steam achievements.
Mm.
And it's the same achievements on Steam and Xbox. So, good times, yeah.
That is my goal. Got all the achievements.
2 playthroughs.
Apparently the JoJo Mart one doesn't actually take that long.
Yeah, you just gotta fuck over the town.
Yeah. Negazak.
Huh?
That'll be my Negazak character.
The Negazak. I think I may name my character Bojangles.
Bojangles.
It's a good farmer name.
Fucking Bojangles, man.
All right. As always, this has been an episode of the Z2 Podcast that we bring to you every week. You can find us on our iTunes, our Facebook, our Google Play, the Stitcher Radio. You can find us on YouTube. You can even find us on our websites, all using Z2 Podcast. Some with one word, some, you know, it's a little spaced out a little bit. But you can find us, and we will find you and bring you 5-star content from week to week. So be sure to leave us a review saying that you enjoy us, things that we can maybe work on. If you want us to talk about Marvel more and actually be nice to Marvel, well, fuck yourself.
We will try.
Shut up. Fuck yourself.
We need to bring Dan the Man on.
That'll be good. Yeah, my good friend Dan the Man. So thank you guys for listening. Like I said, please be sure to leave us a review on either iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher Radio. We also have a YouTube channel where we've been doing some pretty cool Let's Plays here and there. We have a Pokemon one out and a Overcooked one. We are looking forward to bringing you some more Overcooked and some Worms gameplay. Thinking about maybe streaming
soon.
Yeah, we can stream. We can play Trivial Pursuit. That was so fun.
Oh my god, we fucked you ourselves on button so presses. Fun. Fucking button presses, man.
I
know.
I screwed up. Who was killed by Doomsday? And I said Batman. I thought it said Darkseid, and then I accidentally
failed on a Batman or Superman question.
I know.
How?
I also fucked up royally on all those NFL questions.
Yeah, that was great. It's like, oh, we fucking got this. And then we got the fucking Premier League
the
question.
The Premier League. And Joe's like, what the hell's the Premier League? It's English soccer, scrub. You kept yelling, someone get Tottenham away from him.
I took that one, the first fucking worst question.
Oh, it was so good.
Oh, that game.
That game's so much fun.
It is. It's a fun trivia game.
All right. So thank you, guys. If you have any questions or inquiries, you can message us on Facebook or Twitter. We're really fast at responding. We also have our Gmail account, z2podcasts@gmail.com. Feel free to give us, like, discussion points or tell us that you like us or you like Steven better than the two of us. It's all up to you. Next week, we're going to have Steve back, and we're also going to bring our good friend Jim out to do some video gamey stuff. It'll be good.
Fun times will be had.
Yep. And I think that's all. So we will see you later. Love you, internets.
Hasta la pasta. Wrong song.